scholars say that he saw the Aziz, he saw the governor. And when he saw the governor, then it made it even more easy for him, because the governor will intervene and he will stop his wife from doing such a thing. Some other scholars say that at that moment when Yusuf alayhi salam was being seduced and he was not giving in at all, some of the Mufassirin says that at that time and that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed before him an ayah which is like that of the ayah in the Holy Quran, لا تقرب الزنا إنه كان فاحشا وساء سبيلا. Do not even come close to fornication and zina. It is an indecent act. وساء سبيلا, and how evil a path. However, the most famous commentary is given by the famous Mufassir of the Holy Quran, one of the former commentators of the Holy Quran of the very early period of Islam, by the name of Ibn Jarir. Very famous commentary. He says the best commentary on this is that what we know from the Holy Quran is that Yusuf alayhi salam saw some evidence from Allah. As for what that evidence is, Allah did not mention it. And that is as far as our iman goes. Whatever opinions are given by other scholars, that is opinions, yes. But our iman is on the fact that Yusuf did see something. What was that? Allahu a'alam, Allah knows. But that helped in reviving him and was a means of putting aside the seduction of the woman. Allah says, this is the manner. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. This is the manner which we avert from him the evil and the immorality that came, was or that was coming towards him from the woman. So, in which manner? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to show him a sign at that very moment. A sign. And Allah knows best what was the sign. And Allah says, by showing him this sign, this was the way in which we averted and we turned away from him the evil that was coming towards him. Why did we choose to remove it from him? إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. For certainly he was from our servants, the chosen one. He was a chosen one from among our servants. He was a Nabi of Allah, Prophet of Allah. So what happened? At that very moment, Yusuf alayhi salam, in order to get away from her, he started to run. It is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to run towards the door. And although the doors were locked with the latches and big locks, upon reaching the door, the locks for themselves open. And the doors open one by one. And he went to the door. But when he reached to the door, she was running after him. She was running after him because she was bent on seducing him. She was bent on fulfilling her carnal desires with Yusuf alayhi salam. She could not resist Yusuf alayhi salam. And when he began to run away, she started to run behind him. And when he reached to the door, she grabbed him from behind. She caught onto his kameez, the kurta, the long shirt. And he went forward. And because of that, it was torn. And he stopped there. But as soon as they reached up to the door, where the door was open, they met the governor standing there. So obviously, he wants to know what is taking place. What is this thing about? This running. You're running after Yusuf. What is happening? Allah mentions about that. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ. Both of them began to run towards the door in that manner. Yusuf was running to get away from her, and she was running to catch Yusuf and bring him back. And upon reaching the door, she caught him. وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيسَهُ مِن دُبُرٍ. And she tore his kameez. Kameez means a long shirt, that which we call kurta. She tore his kurta from the back. وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَى الْبَابِ. And both of them found her husband at the door. Now, if she looked at the fact that the husband may know that she is trying to seduce him, that's a big trouble. She's making up something. She's making up to show that she's not the wrong one. What did she say? قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءٌ إِلَّا أَنْ يُسْجَنَ أَوْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. She said, "Oh, my husband, what should be the punishment of that one who intends to do evil with your wife?" Turning the blame to Yusuf now. This man is trying to rape me. This man is trying to commit a sin with me. This person here, Yusuf, what should be his punishment? Oh, my husband. Nothing should be his punishment. Illa an yusjana, except that he should be imprisoned. Aw adhabun aleem, or give him a severe punishment. This man is living in our house, and he wants to betray your trust. He wants to commit a sin with me. So do one of two things to get rid of him. Imprison him or persecute him. Yusuf alayhi salam was a Nabi of Allah and very humble. Anbiyas are always humble. They do not do anything to avenge for their own self. But when she began to speak in that manner, what did Yusuf alayhi salam say? قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Allahu Akbar. Yusuf alayhi salam said, "She is the one who tried to seduce me. She was the one, not me, O my master. Not me. But the master was in a dilemma. He was in a little problem. On one hand, his wife is making an accusation against a slave. And on the other hand, the slave is saying, it was not me. Who is he going to believe? Who is the Aziz going to believe? Would he believe his wife, or would he believe the slave, Yusuf alayhi salam? Obviously, he would have leaned towards believing his wife, because he's a slave. Today he's here, tomorrow he can go, he can be sold. But if the stain is placed on his wife, then forever he will live with the stain that his wife tried to seduce a slave in a house. So the Holy Quran says, وَشَهِدَ شَهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Witness. When the dispute arose, that the one wife of the Aziz has said, he is the one who tried to seduce me. It's not me. It is this woman who tried to seduce me. And she locked the doors. He didn't know what to do. He did not know what to believe. But he was a righteous man, the Aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a miracle to happen. And he caused a child from their household, a witness testified from her family, and that was a small, young, little baby who started to speak to the Aziz. In a hadith that is reported by Ahmad, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, It is mentioned by Ibn Hibban, the great Muhaddis, in his Sahih Ibn Hibban. It is mentioned by Mustadrak Hakim in his famous Sahih compilation. And he has considered the hadith to be Sahih and authentic. What is the hadith? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah had used the service of four little babies in the history of man to clear the names of four righteous people. Four little babies who were unable to speak. Small babies in the crib who were unable to speak. Allah has used them as evidence to remove stains and flaws from the character of His Anbiya's and righteous people. Maryam alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded her when it was time to deliver the baby Isa alayhi salam to leave the city, go out, go beneath the date palm tree. You will find that there is a spring at its root. Drink that water. And whenever you wish to eat, shake the tree, the date tree, and dates will fall. That's your food until you deliver Isa alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. When we look at these teachings, we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made special arrangements when it came to His Nabi's, Anbiya's, special arrangements. Now, if any one of you has seen a date palm tree, you will realize that it is difficult to shake. You know, it's something like a coconut tree. Can you go to a coconut tree and shake it until the coconut falls? You can't do that. A date palm tree is not so bent and not so tall. It is shorter, the trunk is more wide, and it is firm and it is stiff. Who can shake a date palm tree? But Allah said to her, in the Holy Quran, when you need food, shake the date palm tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy that shaking the tree was shaking a branch and the dates will fall. And she lived on that. Until the delivery of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. And when he was born, she held on to her little babe and came to the house. Oh, they became surprised. They became angry. And the people of her household said, Ya Ukhta Harun, O the sister of Harun alayhi salam, because she was from the progeny of Harun alayhi salam. Your father was not a bad man and your mother was not a bad woman. How is it that you have brought a child and you have not yet been married? She is weeping because everyone is pointing their fingers towards her. Where did you get this child from? Where did you pick up this child from? You have stained the family lineage of the best Anbiya's of the Israelite prophets. You are from the family of Musa. You are from the family of Harun alayhi salam. What have you done, O woman? She was weeping so much that she could not speak. She said at that time, I wish that death could have taken me over and I am done with. That terrible stain that is going to come to her. And all she did, the Quran says, فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She pointed towards the child. Saying to them indirectly, she was not speaking. But hinting to them, why talk to me? Ask the child where he came from. Allahu Akbar. Ask the child. قالوا, they said, كيف نكلم من كان في المهدي صبيا. How can we speak to a child who is still in the cradle? How can we speak to a child in a situation like that, in the midst of nowhere? No one knows where the voice is coming from. The lips and the tongue of the small baby Isa alayhi salam started to move. قال إني عبد الله. I am a servant of Allah. آتاني الكتاب. Allah has given me the book. وجعلني نبيا. And He has made me a prophet. When that happened, they became dumbstruck.
what is this? They realize Isa alayhi salam, that baby they are looking at came from Allah. That baby is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one. The other one occurred at the time of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Musa alayhi salam, during his time, Qarun, who was a relative of Musa alayhi salam, who did everything, he was an unbeliever, but he did everything within his power and ability to bring down this lofty status of Musa alayhi salam. He tried in many different ways to remove the people away from listening to Musa alayhi salam. When he realized that everything he had tried has failed, he decided to try a new strategy. So he called a woman and he paid her to have illicit relationship. And then the woman became pregnant. And then he took the woman in front of the Israelites. And he said to them, this Musa who comes to you and he tells you about Allah says this and Allah says that, you should not believe in him. He only speaks like that, but he's a wicked man. He says, what? What has he done? He says, look at this woman here. She is carrying the child of Musa. She, this woman. Look at her. So the decision was made, when the baby is born, then they will deal with that issue. And when the baby was born, Musa alayhi salam was given a bayan and a lecture in front of the Israelites. When Qarun came with the woman and the child, and he said, oh Musa, today you shall be humiliated. Look at what you have done. You have slept with this woman, and now this woman had brought a child for you, and this is not your wife. And the people started to look around, and some of them who had a weak iman, people normally have weak iman, they started to fall for those words. The child was not too long delivered. Musa alayhi salam came up and he looked at the child and he says, oh child, I command you by the will of Allah, speak, tell me who is your father. Tell me who is your father. The child spoke out, who is the father? And they realized, confronted the woman, what has happened? Why are you taking my name? She says, Qarun has paid me money to do this. The second child. Imam Bukhari mentions the other incident in his book. Among the Israelites, there was a famous, great, great, pious, righteous man by the name of Juraij. He was so pious that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam attested to his piety. He says, Juraij was a very pious man among the Israelites, Juraij. However, Allah put him through a severe trial. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Juraij was a pious man, he used another statement, how good it would have been if he had listened to his mother. He used that statement. The incident, what happened with Juraij, and we'll see a very important teaching and masala in that for us. Juraij one day was engaged in ibadat, nafil ibadat, optional ibadat. He was in his room, a very pious man. But his mother was calling him. She was in need of something. And she, just like a mother will call the son, Juraij, 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 where are you? And he was engaged in his nafil salat, and he did not reply to her. The masala in Islam is that if you are engaged in any nafil salat, and someone is calling you who might be in need or might be in a serious case, you have to break your nafil salat and attend to that. You don't know what situation a person might be in. So much so that if you are performing salat close to a place and you see a blind man is about to cross the road and you fear that he's blind, he might be knocked down by a vehicle, it is essential for you to break your salat and save him and help him to cross so that he will not be harmed. Masalah, Islam is a beautiful religion with beautiful adabs and etiquettes. So similarly, if the mother is calling, the haq of the mother is so much in Islam. If you are in the house and you're in nafil, you can always read. Nafil is not farz, you break it, you can always read more than that. Nafil you can read any time, except the prohibited time. Whole night you have for your nafil. If your mother is calling you, you should break your salat and respond to her call. However, if during her call she realizes you're in salat and she decides to wait until you finish, that's another masala. That's from her. But sometime it might be a serious situation. And she's calling and she doesn't know where this person is, where the son is. And she becomes anxious. Anxiety grows within her. She becomes frightened. And she was calling Juraij. And Juraij continued to be in salat, ignoring his mother's call. And the mother became so angry that she said, "May something happen to you serious, O my son Juraij." She became angry. Why the son can't respond? And what came to him? Very pious man, righteous man. It so happened, some people wanted to be wicked against him. No matter how righteous you might be, there are always people who try to do harm. Always people looking out, looking at what they can do to harm a person. And these people wanted to be wicked with Juraij. Juraij eventually, after some time, he left and he built a small house somewhere far from his mother, close to, you know, to the area, remote area where you don't have much people living, so he can find enough peace and tranquility there to worship Allah in ibadat. Some of these people, the wicked people, they committed zina with a woman. And they paid her and they said, "Listen, if anyone asks who is the father of this child, tell them it is that man who is living in that place there, Juraij. Committed a sin and planting it on another person." And she did. Obviously, people started to look. People started to see. She came with a child. She delivered the child. People started to ask, "Who is the father of this child? You are not married." She says, "Juraij." So they were surprised. Juraij will not do something like this. She said, "Yes, he's living there. He, that old man there, Juraij, he did it to me." And the people became so angry that without asking Juraij anything, they started to beat him. From all directions, they fell upon him. They fell upon him and started to beat him until someone came and stopped them from beating him, else they could have killed him right there. They said, "What is the matter? Why are you beating Juraij? Juraij is a righteous man amongst us. Why are you beating him?" He says, "No, Juraij committed a sin with that woman and this is the child. Look, the child is there." Juraij got up, beaten already. Juraij looked at the child. Said, "Ya Babus, O Babus, O child of adultery, Manabuk, who is your father? Tell me who is your father." And the child spoke. That's the incident, the third incident, saying who the father was. And then they realized Juraij was innocent and it was a sin planted on him. But a beautiful masala we learned there is the dua that the mother made was accepted, and that incident occurred to Juraij because of that dua. May something happen to him. And we learn another thing is that in that state of ibadat, which is between you and Allah, even in that case in nafil ibadat, yes, respond to your parents, respond to your mother. You can come and start back your salat. The third incident and the fourth incident is this, Yusuf alayhi salam. The child, a small baby, normally in the cradle. So if the child is in the cradle, the child was not looking at what was taking place. The child did not see Yusuf running towards the door, and the child did not see, because the child doesn't have any sense at that time. that this woman tried to seduce Yusuf. So Allah used the little baby to speak up, to speak to the governor and the Aziz. But look at the beautiful, look at the wisdom in the speech that Allah placed on the tongue of the child. It could have happened that the baby begins to speak saying, Yusuf is free from that which is attributed to him. Bas. The people would have accepted it because it is a miracle in itself that a small child, still nursing, in the cradle, is speaking that Yusuf is free from what you attribute. The child does not have that sense. That would have been enough. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to establish a principle that rather than accepting directly the words of the child, it has a lot of common sense and logics in it that the king for himself can look into it and he will analyze the situation and say, yes, Yusuf could not be the person who had done such an act. So the words that came on the tongue of the child, the small baby speaking to the wazir at that time was, the child said, in kana qamisuhu qudda min qubul. O king, O wazir, O aziz, if the kurta is torn from in front, look at the hikmat and the wisdom, Allah. Small child is saying this. If the kurta is torn from in front, فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, then she, the woman, is speaking the truth that Yusuf tried to commit a sin with her, and he, Yusuf, will be from among the liars. Why? Because if it is torn from in front, it will be that Yusuf is going towards her, and she is fighting him to avoid him, and in that fight, the kurta is torn. So, if it is torn from in front, she is speaking the truth, he will be a liar. The child said, وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرُ, but if the kurta and the long shirt is torn from behind, فَكَرَّبَتْ, she is lying, وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and he is speaking the truth. Why? Because in that case, Yusuf will be running away from her, and she will be trying to grab him to bring him back, and in grabbing him, his kurta will be torn from the back. There is no way, if Yusuf was trying to commit a sin with her, that his kurta could ever be torn from behind. That could never happen. And if it is torn from behind, it is only one surat and one place that it could be torn from behind, if he is running in front and she is running after him. That is what the baby said and spoke out. فَلَمَّا رَآ قَمِيسَهُ, when they looked at the qamis of Yusuf alayhi salam, the kurta and the long shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, قُدَّ مِن دُبُرٍ, when they looked at it and saw that it was torn from behind. From behind. So he examined the kurta now. And the wazir and the aziz saw that it was torn from behind. قَالَ, he said, إِنَّهُ مِن كَيْرِكُنْ, he said, this is certainly a plan and a scheme of this woman. It could be Yusuf. It could not be Yusuf. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ, certainly the plot and the scheme of this woman, it is very, very great. They can plan and scheme, and this is what they have planned against an innocent Nabi as Yusuf alayhi salam. The Mufassirin have mentioned that when we look at this ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the plan and the scheme and the plot of women who try to be wicked, they say that is even worse than the scheme of Satan himself. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the scheme and the plot and the planning of Shaitan, Allah says, "Inna kaida shaitan kana dha'ifa." He says the plot of Satan is very weak. The scheme of Satan is weak. When Allah spoke about these women, He said, "Inna kaida kunna azim." Referring, the Aziz is speaking to his wife that your scheme and your plan is very great. And when Allah spoke about the kaida of Satan, He says that is weak. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this one is great. So what they did, referring, He was speaking to the wife, that what she has done is so grave that it is an unforgivable thing that a man like Yusuf alayhi salam, you will plot against to tie a sin on this righteous man? How can you ever do that? He says, "Inna kaidakunna azim," that your plots and your scheme, it is very great, O woman. He understood immediately that Yusuf is free from the sin. He understood immediately that Yusuf did not commit any sin. Yusuf is innocent. So he said, "Yusuf, a'rid an hadha." Oh Yusuf, ignore this. Please ignore this. Don't go behind this. Don't make a big issue of this because I will be humiliated. Ignore it. Yusuf, leave it aside. Don't worry. And in turning to his wife, he said to his wife, "Wastaghfiri li dhanbiki." Oh my wife, you make istighfar for your sin. Ask Allah to forgive you. Make istighfar. Why? "Innaki kunti min al-khatin." Certainly, you are from among those who have committed a mistake and made an error. You have committed a sin. So make istighfar for that. So when he found out the truth about the incident, he will not like to pursue the incident. Because in pursuing the matter, Yusuf will be shown to be innocent, and his wife will be shown to be seen as the guilty one, and then the entire city will blame him. He will be humiliated. He will be disgraced in their sight. So he said, "Yusuf, listen to me. Leave this aside. Don't pursue this. Leave it. Ignore it." And he says, "Oh my wife, you have committed a sin. Make istighfar to Allah. Ask Allah to forgive you for your sins."
وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه قد شغفها حبا إنا لنراها في ضلال مبين فلما سمعت بمكرهن أرسلت إليهن وأعتدت لهن متكأ وآتت كل واحدة منهن سكينا وقالت اخرج عليهن فلما رأينه أكبرنه وقطعن أيديهن وقلن حاش لله ما هذا بشرا إن هذا إلا ملك كريم.
The incident continues where Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was shown to be innocent, and by the witness and the testimony given by the little child in the house, the Aziz, the governor, realized that Yusuf alayhi salam was innocent of the allegation that is made against him. So he said to Yusuf, "Yusuf, a'rid an hadha." O Yusuf, ignore this. Ignore this thing. "Wastaghfiri li dhanbiki." And he said to his wife, "You seek forgiveness for your sin.
إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ Certainly you are from the wrongdoers. You have done something wrong by falsely accusing Yusuf alayhi salam, such an innocent person, of trying to seduce you, when in reality it was you who tried to seduce him. However, when this incident occurred, the people who used to work for the Aziz and the people in the city very soon came to know of what happened. And the news started to spread far and wide. So, the news came back to her, what the woman was saying. And what they were saying, Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ The woman in the city said, إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِ That the woman and the wife of the Aziz, she is seeking to seduce her slave boy. She has become so low that she is seeking to seduce her slave boy. A boy who is working in a house. A boy who is her slave, she is trying to seduce him. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا Most assuredly, she has become infatuated with love for him. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ We see her in a manifest error. She's wrong. She's committing a grave mistake. That this young person who is in her house, and she is trying to seduce him, because when it was found out that Yusuf alayhi salam, his qamis and his kurta was not torn from in front, in the news, it's something you would not be able to keep hidden and secret. So everyone will get to hear about it. And when they learn about it, then it will become clear to them that Yusuf is not the wrong one. It will be clear to them that the wife of the Aziz, she is the wrong one, and she is the one who tried to seduce him. So they are looking at this act and they are saying, a woman of such high standard, the Aziz, the governor of Egypt, his wife has made herself so low to seduce us, her own slave. What type of woman is that woman? So when these things were being said, it reached from one to the other until it came to her ears. And she looked at it, obviously it is a stain on her character. So she wanted to teach them a lesson. That the person I fell for is such a person that if you see him, you will also fall for him. So she wanted to put them to a test. So the Quran says, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ So when she became aware and she heard of their scheme. Now, if we look at it literally, it is not a scheme they are making. They are just saying things against her. They are just saying things against her. Oh, how can this wife of the Aziz fall for a slave boy and try to seduce him? So it's just words. But the Holy Quran mentions it as a scheme because of the fact that the way it was conducted in secrecy from one to the other, like if you are trying to conceal something and all the women are gathering to speak about it, it's like a scheme and a plot they are making against the wife of the Aziz. So the Holy Quran says it is a makar, a plot and a scheme. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ So when she heard of their scheme, أَرُسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ She sent for them. So what she did is that she invited them to dine at her home. Invited, she sent a special invitation to all of them. When they came, she placed before them different types of food, different meals, and she also placed fruits, apples, etc. And for the apples, they would need a knife. A person will take up an apple, take a knife, and that was her maqsad and objective, to hold a knife in their hand at the time when they will see Yusuf alayhi salam. That is the objective. So the Holy Quran said, she sent for all of them. She invited them, a grand a grand invitation, a grand dining. They came, they arrived. وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَآتْ. And she gave to all of them, and she had prepared for them a sitting. She had prepared for them a sitting, you know, on grand sofas and couches, and, you know, it's like the royal invitation, so royal sitting. وَآتَتْ أُكُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا. And she had given each one of all of them a knife, so they may use it to cut the fruits. وَقَالَتْ اِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. And when she had prepared them so that they may begin their meals and their fruits, etc., she had Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam in a nearby room. He was not aware of the plan. He was not aware of what was taking place. So he was in a nearby room, and all she said to him, "Ukhruj alayhinna," now come out. Come out to them. So he came out. The Holy Quran says, when they saw the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, they became dumbstruck. They lost their senses. They were so taken with the beauty which Yusuf alayhi salam had, that rather than cutting the apples, they cut their hands instead. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ. When they saw him, أَكْبَرْنَهُ, they greatly admired him. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. And they all cut their hands. وَقُلْنَا, and they said, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. Perfect is Allah. How perfect is Allah. مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. This is not a human being. This can never be a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. He is nothing but a noble angel. This is an angel. This is not a human being. So when she saw what had happened to them, that they were totally amazed and dumbstruck. They had lost all their senses. They could not utter a word. Seeing such a person, they have never seen the like, that they are calling him an angel. And the wife of the Aziz is looking on. How they also became infatuated with him. She said to them, قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِي. She said, Zulaikha, the wife of the Aziz, this is the person you have blamed me about. This is the one. This is the one that you cannot even keep your senses with you. You have lost it. وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمَ. It was I who seduced him, not he. It was I who seduced him, but he firmly refused. He refused to be seduced by me. He refused to fall to that sin. But then she said, وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمُرُهُ. If he does not do what I am ordering him to do, لَيَسْجُنَنَّ, he shall surely be jailed and imprisoned. وَلَيَكُونَ مِّنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ, and then he will become from among the debased and humiliated people. So what is really happening there? In the midst of the woman, it is mentioned, the Mufassirin and commentators of the Holy Quran states, based on different traditions, that when the women saw such a beauty and a handsome figure, that they, rather than cutting their apples, they cut their hands instead. And they thought it was an angel. They realized they were wrong to blame the wife of the Aziz for trying to seduce him.
and fallen for him. They were wrong. Then they started to tell Yusuf, "Oh Yusuf, this woman is your master, is your mistress. You are owned by this woman, and she has done a lot of kindness to you. You should obey her. You should be obedient to her. Do whatever she says to do." Now Yusuf alayhi salam knows very well that doing whatever she wants me to do is committing a sin. It is not doing the chores around the house and, you know, what a slave might be expected to do, the work around the house and whatever it might be, work in the fields, etc. It is not like that is the type of obedience. But the type of obedience which the women are inciting him to do, it is to fall for her seduction and fulfill her desires, evil desires, which Yusuf alayhi salam will never fall for. The woman comes outright now. She does not want to feel humiliated. Because here is it, a woman of such a high standard, being the wife of the Aziz, the Grand Governor. She is of a very high status. And she feels embarrassed in front of the woman to know that she has tried and he has bluntly refused. So she looks humiliated. Now, in other words, what we say that she is the one who's supposed to call the shots, in other words. And he must follow. But he is the one calling the shots and she has to follow. And she's feeling humiliated in front of the woman. So to remove that humiliation from in front of them, she says, "Listen, if he does not do what I want him to do, he's going to jail. He's going to go to jail. And when he goes to jail, he is going to be humiliated with all the beauty he has and how much handsome he may be. He's going to be imprisoned as the other prisoners, and people are going to look down upon him as, you know, a person who has been entrusted to the jail. He's going to go there, people are going to forget about him, and he's going to learn the hard way. And then at that time, he will regret why he didn't do what the mistress wanted him to do." This is what she said. When Yusuf alayhi salam heard that, he realized that he was in a situation. He must choose between one of two things. Because two things are placed in front of him. One, it's either he falls for the seduction of the woman, or if he doesn't want to do that, he must go to jail. These are the two things in front of him. So, what did Yusuf alayhi salam say? Allahu Akbar. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. Yusuf alayhi salam said, "Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, oh my Allah, the prison is more beloved to me." Allahu Akbar. "The prison is more beloved to me than that which they, the woman, invite me towards. I prefer the jail, O Allah, not this. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ." And O Allah, if you do not avert and remove from me their plot and their scheme that they are trying behind me, أَصْبُ إِلَيْنَّ, I may be tempted to be inclined, because then I wouldn't have a choice. Because she is my mistress, I am owned by her, I am a slave boy, what can I do? I may be tempted to do what I am ordered to do. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And at that time, O Allah, I will become from among the ignorant ones. In other words, doing things out of ignorance because I have no other way and no other road, O Allah. This is what happened. Caught in the middle of two things, he takes that which has some difficulties in it, but purity. Allahu Akbar. And so many Muslims, we learn from this beautiful incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, from the very beginning, as a young boy, where his brothers suffered from the sickness of envy. And out of their envy against him, wanted to kill him. Then he ended up in the court of the wazir.
And the woman tried to seduce him. He turned towards Allah. And here also, he is in the midst of this. And who he turns to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one has the power to remove himself from sins except through the help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he realized he's caught in the middle. So he does not go to the master, to the wazir, and say, "I prefer to go to jail." He calls on Allah. He says, "Oh my Lord." He says, "Oh my Rabb, the prisoner is more beloved to me." فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. His Lord answered his prayer. Allah answered his dua when he said, "Oh Allah, the prisoner is more beloved to me. I prefer that." فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. His Lord answered his prayer. فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ. And he removed from him their scheme. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Certainly he, Allah, is all hearer, he is all knower. He hears everything that has gone between the parties. And he is fully aware of the situation. It is mentioned in certain riwayat and traditions, mentioned by Ibn Kathir and other famous commentators of the Holy Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his dua. He answered his dua. And when Yusuf alayhi salam was placed in the prison, through wahi, Allah said to him that you being in prison is what you have brought upon your own self. Understand that teaching. There is a statement which was used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which states, "Ashadul balai ala al-anbiya, thumma al-amthalu fal-amthal." The worst trials, it comes to the prophets of Allah. Then those who are closer to them, and then closer to them. In other words, the closer a person is to Allah, more trials come to him. And the people who get the most trials, they are the prophets, because they are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What ordinary people cannot bear, they must bear it without complaining. Allah has chosen them, so they must be a mountain of steadfastness and firmness in their iman and faith without complaining. The lesson to Yusuf alayhi salam, all the Anbiya's, Allah reminds them of a duty. He gives them good counsel also, different Anbiya's, that if you had prayed to me for afiyat, to remove this calamity from you, I would have surely made a better way for you. But rather than praying to me and asking me to remove this, you said you prefer the prison. I accepted your dua. So Allah is telling Yusuf, what you were supposed to do is leave everything in my hands and I will make the way out for you. I will make the way. There are many ways out besides the prison. But Yusuf alayhi salam said, "Oh Allah, I prefer the prison." And what was it? What were the words? "Rabbi, asijnu ahambu." Oh Allah, the jail and the prison is more beloved to me than that which they call me towards. That is a lesson to Yusuf alayhi salam. It's not a sin he committed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him. However, we have to understand the situation Yusuf alayhi salam is in. He is in a situation that physically he sees only two ways. One is either you fall prey to the seduction of Zulaikha, or the other thing she says, if you do not, you will go to jail. Her husband is the governor, the Aziz. So she can tell him to do that. It is in this context the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever you make dua to Allah, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyat, afiyat. Oh Allah, remove calamities and difficulties that comes to us. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a man making dua to Allah, O Allah, grant me patience and forbearance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped him and said, rather than that, ask Allah to give you afiyat, a way out of every distress and difficulty. Why? Because patience and forbearance, it is only needed when a person is under a trial and a calamity. When you are tried with something, we need to be patient. When we are tested by Allah, we need to be patient. When there is a calamity, we need to be forbearing and patient. So patience will only be there when hardships and difficulties will come. Asking Allah to give us patience is like asking Allah to give us calamities and give us the patience to bear them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says you should not ask Allah for that. But ask Allah for afiyat. Afiyat means to ask Allah to remove every type of difficulty and hardship and calamity and sickness that comes upon you. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, O Prophet of Allah, teach me a good dua, a supplication that I may make to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, make dua to Allah for afiyat, that he will give you freedom of every calamity. After a long while, Abbas came back. He said, O Prophet of Allah, I have learned that I made dua. Give me another dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Abbas, make dua to Allah for afiyat. O Allah, remove all the difficulties that are in my way. Because we live a life, and every different day, a different obstacle may come. Every different week, a different trial may come. Sometimes sickness, sometimes death, sometimes poverty, sometimes hardship, sometimes drought, sometimes shortage, sometimes worry, sometimes depression, sometimes frustration. This is what a human being goes through his life. So, the better thing is not to call for sabr, because Allah does not impose upon any human being a burden more than that he can bear. That is the promise of Allah. The better thing is to ask Allah, O Allah, remove these things. Because it comes from Allah, O Allah, please remove it from me. Please remove it from me. In certain cases, sabr is needed. So when there is a calamity coming from Allah, then we ask Allah, give me the patience to bear this test you have sent to me. But for nothing and no reason at all, when there is no calamity and there is no trial, O Allah, give me patience, then the Mufassirin have stated, it's like asking Allah to give me a calamity and give me the patience to bear the calamity. So, it is mentioned about Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. When Lut alayhi salam was confronted with the people of his community, when they entered his house, and there were people who were engaged in a very, very grave sin, and they wanted to go after the angels with their evil intentions. Lut alayhi salam said at that time, I wish that there was a firm pillar that I may lean on at present. The people of Lut alayhi salam were among the first people who were involved on a big and a high community level in the act of luwafat, or homosexuality. And they were warned several times about it, until they will not correct themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to destroy the two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. When they came to Lut alayhi salam in the night, a few angels, and the angels came to visit Lut alayhi salam, and they told Lut alayhi salam that in the morning the punishment will descend. Lut alayhi salam said, why wait until the morning? Now is the better time. Give it now. They said to Lut, alaysa subh bi qareeb, is not the morning very near? It was at that time Lut alayhi salam was commanded by Allah to leave the city and run off, to run away from the city with his few followers. And he was asked that when you are running, do not look back. The two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were lifted by Jibreel alayhi salam to the highest heaven, and they were turned upside down and made to fall on its own strength and weight, and the gravity force pulling it downwards. The entire cities were destroyed. But the incident which occurred, what I'm speaking about, is that when the angels came, the angels are such beings that they are not females, neither they are males. They are different creation of Allah. But angels are very handsome and beautiful. And when the people, with their evil intention, saw the angels come into the house of Lut, they ran after them and came to the house. Lut alayhi salam did not know that these were the angels. He looked at the angels as being his guests. And he said to his community, "Please do not humiliate me in front of my guests today. If you wish, marry my daughters. I have daughters, marry them." They said to Lut, "Oh Lut, you know what is our desire. We do not desire your daughters." When the angels heard that, Lut alayhi salam, at that moment, he said, "Oh, how I wish that there was some support so that I may lean on it right now." Because he looked at them as being his guests, and here is his community wanted to commit an evil act. How embarrassed and humiliated he will feel. How would we feel if a guest comes to our place and someone humiliates us in front of our guests? The angel said, "Oh Lut, do not be scared. We are angels from Allah." And then he realized that he ought not to fear. And when the people approached the angels, one angel took out a door from the house and he slammed it on them. Few of them died on the spot. They realized that these people were not human beings. They ran off. And it was after that the azab of Allah came at the morning period. Cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed.